We're up to the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah had mentioned as one of its requirements, Chamasa Meruba Mitzilasa is Psula. There will be one more discussion on this topic. We're not going to talk about it now. I don't know if we'll get to it or not. At the Daf Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis, where the Gemara talks about the thickness of the Schach, in terms of what is the nature of, you know, it has to be tzilasa meruba chamasa, but the question is, how much shade can be too much shade? But for the moment, the Gemara is interested in a different question, which is, as we pointed out when we learned Daf Beis, that the schach only provides shade from the sun when it's directly overhead. So technically speaking, if you live beyond the tropics, the sun is never directly overhead. But for most intents and purposes, while for those of us who live anywhere in the United States, pretty much. Are there no Floridians here? Are there any Floridians? No, you're not in Floridian anymore, sorry. You live in New York now. Your parents live in New York. That's the way it is. So for those of us, I don't remember, Florida is probably still above the tropics. So basically, we all live with a southern exposure. The sun is always to our south. So you can imagine that most times of day anyway, even if you pretend that the sun is directly overhead at noon, most times of day the sun is located in a position where the schach is going to provide a minimum of shade. What would have to provide the shade, of course, are the walls. And the question is, does it matter whether the walls provide to protect you from the sun or not? As a matter of intelligent practice, it's always a good idea to have walls that protect you from the sun. Now, those of you who've been in our house, so it happens to be, we are blessed, at least in terms of the placement of the sukkah, because the way it sits on our deck never ever gets any sun directly on the sukkah, because the house, the exposure is enough that the house blocks it. But, and the house is pretty, relatively speaking, tall to where the sukkah is. But the question is, would in fact too much sunlight from the sides possible it? So our assumption until now, of course, was that we were talking only about the schach, and it doesn't really matter what the walls actually do. But now, we did talk about the question of tzel defanos in one context. What was that? Kesser?
Duras arrived versus Duras
Kevin. No. Did I know him?
With Rabbi Zeira.
Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said that Lemalames from Amma, Adam is Yoshev, not Bitzel Schach, but Bitzel Defanos. Right? So we spoke about that what does that mean? Because almost every sukkah, no matter what height it is, even if it's a short squat sukkah, you're still going to be sitting in Tzel Defanos most of the day. So our assumption was that it means the way you determine whether you're Yoshev Bitzel Defanos or Tzel Schach is by solar noon. Right, so even if we're not getting a perfectly, you know, sun overhead, nonetheless, it's close enough that you can say that during the day, at noon, during a given day, so the sun will be, you'll be getting tzel from the schach. And Zera said that if the tzel that you're going to get is always from the defanos, the way we qualified that is meaning you would never get tzel from the schach, then the halacha would be that it's no good according to Rabbi Zera. So right now, the assumption is you definitely get tzel from the schach. That's the case we're dealing with. The question is, what about if the walls don't provide you with any protection? What kinds of walls would not provide you with any protection from the sun? We'll say that, Kesser, say it louder, Kesser?
Loved
walls. Right? Mm-hmm. Loved walls are brisker walls. Right? A true brisker would feel in the shade if he was behind a loved wall. But those of us who are not true, not all of us have reached that mila. So for us, we'd pull out the sunscreen. We'd pull out the sunscreen once we had loved walls. So loved walls. Now, by the way, does loved work by the schach? No, categorically does not work by schach above. No question about that. But loved walls, which we assume work, right? Where you take you can do it either vertically or horizontally, but you set up your kanim within every three tvachim, and you can have solid walls in that regard. That's the way. There are those who are makpid, people don't like canvas sukkahs. They don't like canvas sukkahs because the wind can blow them. So the truth is, if you look in the Mekoros anyway, in the Beis Yosef, in the Torah, about this issue, it's really a non-issue. If your canvas is tied at the bottom, it's totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter the displacement of the middle of the wall. It's the Gemara that deals with trees. When you want to use the trees or the foliage of trees as your wall and having to tie it down and so on. But if you go on our deck, the next sheer event that you're there and you look, you'll see that even though we set up a canvas sook on the deck, I don't need the canvas walls because we have the railing of the deck, which is at least 10 tfachim tall, and it has slats. So the slats, there's more open probably than closed, but the slats are within 3 tefachim, probably within 1 tefach of one another, and therefore the halacha is that it is considered a solid wall. So the question is, though, if you're having more shit, yes, Yehuda.
I mean, you don't even need to worry about that. Use glass walls.
So the other possibility, I think I asked this question: if you have solid walls that are transparent, what would the din be? So the question anyway that the Gemara now explores is, how is it chamasa atzilasa mruba me chamasa? So the Gemara says, Noah, please. Just one pre-announcement, by the way, because it's mission passed. I generally call on people to read and share. If you have a reading issue or a certain kind of phobia, privately please let me know, and I will not put you on the spot. But otherwise, I will put you on the spot. Okay. I won't put you on the spot because I think you weren't prepared. If I thought you weren't prepared, I was sure I wouldn't ask. It's not to be a mivai issue, but it is to create a little bit of incentive to be prepared. Okay. Go ahead. Tanu Rabbanu Chamasa. Okay. So forgive my grammatical notation here, but the word should be pronounced Chamasa, not Chamasa. I don't mean the accent, but the dagesh in the mem, and that's not bechinam, because what's the difference between chamasa and chamasa? Gail?
One means her anger and one means the shade. Mother-in-law.
Yeah, I was thinking the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law, right? So the truth is, how does chema work out? It might also be, there's an interesting hekesh there between mother-in-law and anger. Correct. There's one place in Chumash, I'll tell you why I'm sensitive to this, because it's a pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim. Asher hafach Hashem, so it could be mother-in-law or anger. Asher hafach Hashem be'apo, and u vachamoso. And if someone read uvichamoso, you would correct them. Why? Because vachamaso is a patach under the bays, it should have been bichamaso. But because the ches of chema shalo, chamaso, has a chata patach, you can't put a shva in front of it. Instead, you put a patach. That's uvachamaso, and that's the way it's supposed to read. If you read uvichamaso, it would probably be and his son. Because it's chamaso, patach under the ches, and you put a shva under the bays before. So anyway, so you don't have to read again, but be note that this is chamasa meruba mitzilasa. Ami, if you didn't hear the first time, chamasa and chamasa. Okay, fine. So it's asked to be chamasa meruba mitzilasa. Tzilasa chamasa only on the basis of schach, not on the basis of defanos. Rabbi Yoshia Omer. Okay. So even if it's chamasa meruba mitzilasa because of the defanos, because the defanos don't provide any shade, so then the sukkah is also psula. Now, there is a basic question in terms of shitas Rabbi Yoshia before you read any further. And you know that I'm not one who's given initially to formulating this type of hakira, but it's obvious when you start, and it becomes even more obvious when you read the discussion a little bit in the Gemara and the Rishonim. And for those of you who might or might not have realized, although I think I gave it a little away in the questions, this in the simple presentation of the Gemara, there seems to be a machlokas within the Gemara itself. In fact, a machlokas in the name of Abaye as to what the basis of Rabbi Yoshia's din is. The Gemara seems to read just sequentially. The Gemara quotes the statement, it's going to quote a reason, and then it's going to have Abaye collect all the shitas. But there really is a fundamental distinction, at least on the surface, between the presentation of Rabbi Yoshia as explained by Rav Yema Bar Shlemi in the name of Abaye, and then Abaye's presentation of the shita, of the collection of views that all hold at Sukkah, Diras Keva, Be'inon. Now, before we read on the Gemara, what's the question that you would ask about Rabbi Yoshia's position when you read this? Noah?
It's not clear whether the walls have to be shady or whether if it's too sunny because of the walls, that's a problem.
Okay, that's correct. I would agree with that, but can we sharpen the formulation a little bit? We have to leave, you know, certain people happy. Mr. Sklar.
This was sort of based off of one of the questions you asked, but the question is he actually have a particularity regarding the way that walls need to be defined, or is this really just an issue of light and shade? Meaning, does it mean...
That you're getting even closer to what I want to hear. I may not be the yes, Noah.
Okay, I think this might be a little bit different, but is the issue of Hamatabru Mitzilata something its own individual independent issue, or is Hamatabru Mitzilata possibly something that is revelatory about something else and therefore is a component of it? So maybe perhaps Sukkah Keba B'inan required the requirement of Tzilatabru Mitzilata is an extension of that. Of the necessity for Sukkah Keba B'inan, because if there's enough sunlight that's coming in.
But you're jumping, before you go there, don't jump ahead to things the Gemara discusses. It's just a question when you look at Rabbi Yoshia's statement. And Yosef was almost there. Yair?
Is there someone on the schach or someone on the walls? Meaning, does it come from the sides?
Schach. Well, that's a very interesting way. That's not the way I would have looked at it. But you were, well, again, it was so close in the formulation. Yeah.
Is it the walls or din the sukkah?
Thank you. The question is this really a din in the walls themselves? Or is it a din that when I sit in the sukkah, I have to be in a place where I have more shade than sun? You were very close, Joseph, to saying that. But that's the way I would say it. Is it a din in the defanos? Or is it a din, I don't want to call it in yeshiva sukkah, and so on. That's why I asked the question, what if you build the sukkah of Ashtaras Karnayim? Right? In other words, you have walls. The walls themselves might be loved walls. But it's shady because you put the sukkah in a place where you would have shade. So clearly, building an Ashtaros Karnayim, the schach itself, you have to have schach no matter, even to build an Ashtaros Karnayim. So we don't care, we're not concerned that you don't need the schach. The schach can provide shade in its own right. The fact that you built it in a place that has lots of shade anyway, that's not a problem. But you definitely need the schach, that's for sure. And you need the phanos, but the question is, do the phanos per se have to be chamasa, tzilasim rechamasa? Or is it just that if you don't have, in other words, the schach is one thing. The defanos are what you need defanos, however we've defined defanos until now, but you also have to be sitting in the shade, right? Because otherwise it's not a place where people want to sit. Kind of defeats the entire purpose of the sukkah. So that's the question. Is it really a din in the defanos? The extreme manifestation of the view that it's a din in the defanos is which shita? Whose shita is the extreme manifestation of the view that it's a din in the defanos?
The Rav Yah.
The Rav Yah. Right? The Rav Yah who says that you have to make the walls of the sukkah out of the same, it has to be kosher exactly like the schach. It's a mamish a din in schach. That's basically saying that the walls of the Rav Yoshia, the walls of the sukkah, it's like you thought that these were the walls and this was the schach. And instead what we're telling you is that no, that this is all the schach. Some schach protects you from what's above, when the sun's above. Some schach protects you from when the sun is on the side. Yehuda?
So what if you have a sukkah with a wall like sort of honeycomb shape, like a long tunnel, so the schach will be puzzled, and the sun's directly above will shine straight through. The entire day it provides perfect shade, because the sun is never directly to the side, except maybe at the exact moment of sunset.
What?
Would that be enough?
Yehuda, I can't decide, do you spend your time doing this because you want to torture me, or just because it's the way you think? So now you have to explain to me, what? What did you describe?
You see, let's say you see it has slats. So what if your walls are like that, where only at the moment of sunset does the sun start shining through them, because they're pretty long, be like this thick. The sun isn't going to get through when the sun is here, and the tunnel's this thick. And the whole thing's made of tunnels, though, so the wall's pretty clear. You can see out, but it will still protect you from the sun.
So you raised actually what might be a more different, meaningful question, which really goes along. This might go along with another nafkamina of this is, can the sukkah be ksheret sometimes and psula at other times?
Oh, that's in Rav Zeira Shita.
You know, except we spoke about Rav Zeira a little bit earlier, except that Rav Zeira himself doesn't distinguish between times of day.
Yeah.
He just says that he says this size sukkah with when it's really tall is no good. This size sukkah is good. But he doesn't say that one of these sukkahs is good part of the day, but not, you know, the part of the day that the sun would be overhead, but not the part of the day when it wouldn't. But again, if you were to take the formulation that Noam gave. I'm sorry? Well, right. So that was last semester we spoke about that in terms of Rav Zeira's position and where the sun is. But assuming coming back to Noam's formulation is that din in the sukkah, din in the schach, so that raises the question, and that's why I said it's a din in yeshiva sukkah, right? Would it matter at different times? Could you say that a sukkah would be no good at some times of the day and it would be good at other times of the day depending on where the sun is? Yes, Noam.
You still have the pasuk that Rabbi Zera brings up.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet. Hold on, we'll get to that in a second. Because remember, as I said before, there is a pasuk that's brought for Rabbi Yoshia?
No, not
Rabbi Zera.
Rabbi Zera from Yirmiyah.
And the pasuk was v'sukati el etzel yomam.
So if we want to talk about it being at different times of day, it's not really a sukati el etzel.
We're not debating the schach. The schach is clear. And the schach is not a function. I mean, you could ask the question, you know, when would this sukkah with the questionable walls, if it were good, if we were to say, which I don't think we would say, that it's good sometimes of the day, not good at other times of the day, when would the sukkah always be good?
At night.
Right? That doesn't sound right. I'm inclined to think that the sukkah, that it's not a din per se in yeshiva sukkah, it's got to be a din in the sukkah, right? It has to be the sukkah that provides at, you know, all times of the day or something like that, majority of shade. Okay, yes.
I think that would be a different formulation. If we go by the Vyema, then we would say that it has to be such a wall that if you turned it sideways and put it on your roof, that high noon, it would provide some of the little bit zelata. I think that's the formulation, because
So that's saying that the defano, that it's a din of the defanos.
Right.
I we haven't gotten there yet to the explanation. I understand that there's a machlokas in the Gemara as to what Rav Yoshia actually holds. We'll see that. Hold on, but that's only one interpretation of Rav Yoshia. Mark?
What would push you to say that it's a din in yeshiva sukkah? Like it seems clear to me that he's talking about defanos. Just like skach, it's a din in the skach itself.
So if I were only doing Rav Yemar b'shem Abaye, I would agree. But Abaye himself, direct quotation of Abaye in the next part, in the Shita, and collecting the Shitos, the explanation of Yoshi there seems to be something else. And notice, I think there's really a tension in the Gemara, and almost two deos there. And keep in mind that even if you don't sense the tension between that, if you think about the Machlokas HaRishonim, as to whether or not the walls have to be made from material that's kosher for schach, there's already a Machlokas about what does it mean. And that's how seriously to take, or how literally to take, Rav Yemar's drasha. Daniel.
Even to address that point, even if like you ignore the shita that Abaye brings, you could also say that the Mishnah is talking about the sukkah itself, not about the schach. And so, like, at least how I initially read it was that, let's say there's 49% shade coming through the schach, mm-hmm. and there's 2% shade coming through the walls. That's a sukkah, which you have more sun than shade. You have 49% sun coming through the schach and 2% coming through the walls, it's 51% sun in the sukkah. Therefore,
I think I have a problem with the arithmetic of adding apples and oranges. When we talk about the schach, it means the chamasu mitzlasa, in other words, the sun is either here or it's here. I don't know if we're going to talk about, in other words, when you look at the schach, you say, it's clear to me the way, certainly if the defanos are going to be treated like schach, to one extent or another, if it's a din in the defanos, basically what it means in practice is that you look at how much coverage there is on top. And if you have more than 50%, it's a machlokas actually, whether there is a machlokas on how to read that sugya on daf chaf bezam and aleph. Is it Chaf Bezam and Aleph? Now, where is the Gemara? The question about whether Paritz Murubala Omed. That discussion, maybe it's later in our parak? I don't think so. Where there's a question of whether or not it has to be 50-50 above or 50-50 on the ground.
My understanding is wrong.
I'm sorry?
Well,
No, no, I know. Where is it in the Gemara? Where
I think it's
Tafdam. Oh, it's on the base. Okay. Yeah, what it is? Fine. Up. Oh, sorry. Thank you. It's the end of there. Correct. It's the second to last piece before the Mishnah on base of the base. So there, it's clear. Whichever you accept as the standard, it at least has to be. You know, it's measured by how much schach there is on top. In other words, you either need 50% or 50%+ of coverage on the roof, and then that's acceptable. I assume, Daniel, that it's the same thing is true on the walls. In other words, you need 50% coverage. And I'm not going to, you know, if the sun is on an angle, how much is coming this way? That's not really, if 50% of that surface is covered of each one, or 50%+, then that's called.
It's not about how much sun is actually in the sun.
Correct. I'll tell you in the following sense. If you have 51%, I'm pretty sure everybody would agree to this. I don't think this should be totally in the machlokes harishonim, except for just as a practical measurement. If you have, let's say, a fairly tall sukkah, there seems to be machlokes in the science of optics here. But my impression is that if you, the physicists, I know at least two physics majors now in this year, the physicist will correct me here. But I think that if you, I'm never really sure about this. If I have slats and I have sun shining, I have light shining on them, directly, so basically the light as it goes through the slats will diffuse, and the area, even if you were to see, maybe I'm wrong about this, I'm never sure, there will be more sunlight on the floor than there is, in other words, the more spaces illuminate and look like they have sunshine in them than in the roof. Any of the physics majors want to comment about that? Right?
It's like a flashlight. You turn on a flashlight.
That's what I would have thought, right? The question is, I when you put things through slats, all sorts of funny things happen, you know. So that's what I'm never sure. But I think it spreads out. I think the assumption is that if it's 50-50 below, you know that there is more than 50% coverage on top, right? If on the floor, if you were to look at the slats and measure and the amount of when the sun is directly overhead, and you were to see that there's more sunlight than, if there was 50% sunlight, 50% shade on the floor, it means there's more than 50% blockage on top. So that's I think the way that's the way we measure. We don't really care the fact that on the ground it appears there's more sunlight. In other words, if the sun, if the schach blocks more than 50% of the shade sunlight that's hitting it, then it's done its job. That's what I would assume. Kasa?
Is Rav Yoshi's question a concern about sunlight in the sukkah, or is it a concern about the construction of the walls?
That's exactly that you just reformulate. That's okay, because you just that's exactly the hakira.
Okay.
Exactly. Yehuda?
So I don't get when we measure, like what's the halakha of Yoshua is saying? Do you measure it per wall, or do we measure it overall? Do you measure it is it just post
well? So again, this is partially I think going to be determined by I think it's going to be determined by how much you see this Stefanos being a din in schach. And again, Noam formulated it very starkly. Is it a din in the sukkah or a din in the walls? But even if it's a din in the walls, there can be a variety of things. What's the din by schach? Does the entire thing have to be tzidasim rechamasa? The roof?
It's also flat, which helps.
Does the entire roof, does it have to be the entire thing? Everywhere have to be tzilasim v'chamas. So the answer to the question is obviously not. Why? What's the answer? Obviously not. Correct. It means nothing. You can't say it has to be tzilasim v'chamas everywhere. The only way that can happen is if it's solid. I said that can't be right. And we say the Gemara says b'fair sukkah meduvlelas. You say in the Mishnah means that in some spots it's a little bit chalish. So there are rules. What's the rule? The rule is you can't have a gap of three airspace of 3x3. Right? That you're not allowed to have. But outside of that. We look at the sum total of the roof. Right? That's the way we judge. So my assumption would be is that if this is a din mamish in Defanos, in other words, it has to be exactly like schach. It's a din in Defanos and it's full fledged. I would assume that you probably there are two choices. I feel like this is the sugya of tevila, chatzitza, and tevila, and the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Gaonim. Do you look at every single aver in its own right for Rubel Makbid, or do you look at the entire body? So you could argue that you look at all four walls together, or you could say you look at each wall in its own right, because when the sun would be coming upon that portion, you know, what would the impact be? So in other words, I don't know which way one would go with that.
Is this specific wall kosher or not? To
right. In other words, we say each of the walls that would be required lehechsher hasukkah would be required to meet that standard in its own right. Without
does that mean that the fourth wall could be completely open and it's all well, sunny in there?
So here's the different question. It's an excellent question. The part of the question is, what is this din about? Is it a din in the sukkah? Another way of saying that, is it a din that sukkah is a kind of a diras keva? Or is it a din in the defanos? Now, the reason I say that is because when you go into the next sugya, where Abaye quotes the shita, when he lists all the people who hold sukkah diras keva binan, so one of the questions that preoccupies the Rishonim is to what extent these various shitos do or don't hold like one another. The Rabbi Shimon shita that you require four walls in a sukkah, seems to be is suggested as being part of Din Diras Keva. And as Rashi explained earlier, that last line in the explanation of Rabbi Shimon is that the only way it protects you is if it has four walls. Right? Now, what we pointed out is that the interesting difficulty in that explanation of Rabbi Shimon what is Rabbi Shimon's position of four walls according to the Bavli? And at least one version of the Yerushalmi. What does four walls mean?
Three and a little bit.
Right. But that actually makes no sense if you hold that Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. And as the Gemara said earlier, it's supposed to be Lemachseh Ulemistar Mizerim Umimatar, the way Rashi read the Gemara Kepshuto. Because in order to have a Sukkah that protects you from the rain, okay, you know, you have to have all four walls. You can have a door, but you have to have four walls. You can't have, you know, three walls and an imaginary fourth. Otherwise, it doesn't accomplish that. So to the extent, the question of what is Rabbi Yoshia Shita, is it a din in the Defanos, or is it a din in Diras Keva, as Abai is going to suggest second? So that might determine, in other words, your question, if it's a din in Diras Keva, then presumably Rabbi Yoshia should require four full walls.
Full walls.
Yes. Correct, because unless you say that you measure Tzilasa Merucha Masa by the entire sukkah, but the truth is it doesn't make sense that the fourth wall should be under any circumstances, because otherwise it wouldn't protect you from the sun. Well,
the sun goes from east to west, also your walls like north. So
it depends where you're
right. I'm saying, but
It's
on the one side that the sun's not coming.
And a bus shelter protects you from light rain. And when you have ulamach, yeah, you get totally soaked. Okay, it's a hatzala porta. It often works. It goes a long way.
But it's hard to say not that rain protection. We have actual buildings on purpose to protect you from rain. And also, Israel, you get light rain most of the time. They rarely get very heavy.
Okay, so it's possible. But then I would ask you the question: why would two walls not work plus a shemitic? Why would that be for Rabbi Shimon? What? No. I have two walls. I put a little thing on that. Why does that not work for Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah, you're underneath the sky. There's nothing covered. You're good.
Yes. In other words, I would have thought that the reason why you need an extra wall for Rabbi Shimon, extra near the fourth wall, is because it protects you from wind-driven rain. But okay, fine.
The thing is, like, the problem with walls is so many permutations of allowable things. It's not a simple, like, what if you have a circular circle? Where do you measure parts of our element?
Let's wait till we get to talk about circles, okay? We'll get to that later in the Gemara. Noam?
Amiel and I, when you were learning, we formulated the Chakira different kind of the opposite way.
Okay.
We assumed that Rav Yemar was more of a din in the tzeil, not the defano themselves. Whereas Abaye, you needed a sturdy wall. It's not the entire sukkah. You go wall by wall. Is this the right wall? Is this the right wall?
Let's read the Gemara. Okay, and then we can formulate an opinion about that. So let's start. Let's continue now, huh?
I'm a Rabbi Yemar, Rav Shalom, and Mishnei Dabai. My time is the Rabbi Yoshia. Diftiv v'sakot al ha'aron
es haparoches. So v'sakosa al ha'aron es haparoches. So the Torah says, in the Yerushalmi, by the way, the girsa is kaporos. It's clear that's a printer's error and nothing more. If anybody is really curious, you could go look at Biblia Hebraica and see if there exists any textual variance. I'm pretty sure that is actually highly unlikely. Why is it highly unlikely that there exists another version? The Yerushalmi clearly had paroches, even though the printers printed kaporos. Why? How do I know that the Yerushalmi clearly had paroches? The proof that the Yerushalmi was bringing was assuming that whatever that word is, whatever that four-letter word with a pei, resh, chaf, and taf is, whatever that word is a mechitza, it's a dofen, and nonetheless, and it's makabel toma, and so you see the fanos can be makabel toma. It's clearly talking about a paroches, not a kapores. But in addition, if you actually look in that passage, turn the paper. So the truth is, you know, in the original thing, that actually could have been kaporis. I could have seen that variant existing. But later, you have the following, and this might be better proof. Vayikach vayitenes ha'idus el ha'aron, vayosemes ha'badim al ha'aron, vayitenes ha'kapores al ha'aron l'malo. That's the kaporis. Vayaveas ha'aron al ha'mishkan, then vayosem es paroches ha'mosoch, Vayosech al Aron Ho'edus Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Right, so there the paroches is being described as Vayosech al Aron Ho'edus. So it's very, very clear. Even if it's interesting that they choose the Sakosas, there are a few words here, by the way, that come from Samachav Chav. The word Vesakosa is Samachav Chav. The word Vayosech, what's the root of Vayosech for the biblical Hebrew grammarians here? What's the stem that it's formed off of? No. What?
No.
Samach vavchav, or samach yudchav. It's a hollow verb, but this is what we call a biform. You have them all over the place, where you have this with the kfulim, where the second and third letters of the root are the same, where alternative variant will be with a vav as the middle letter. In terms of the way it's formed, Vayosech is like Vayoshev, Vayosem, which are all ayin vavs. It's the middle letters of vav, but it's the same root. The word masach, what is the name, what is the paroches called, by the way? The paroches?
Hamasach.
What is masach? I forgot to look this up in Kola Baumgartner, but I'm pretty sure I know what masach is. Mems are preformatives all the time, like makom, malone, all sorts of things that are formed like that. Miklat, miktar, mizbeach. Often it means place, but not always. So it's pretty clear to me, masach, the root is samach vavchav or samach chav. I can't think of any other examples of that vocalization pattern, but I'm willing to bet you're going to discover that the mem is a prefix. So it's called the paroches hamasach, which is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Because what's the function of schach?
Shade?
Yeah, what else?
Protection.
Protection, in a broader sense. All right, what is the paroches hamasach?
It protects
the aron. Whether it's protecting us from the aron or the aron from us, we don't have to get into that question, but that's what the paroches hamasach is. It's all the same root of samachaf with a third letter thrown in. So I think it's very clear. That the yeah.
This is maybe a stupid point, but the Kruvim were Horseich Nafayim. The word Sochachim.
Yes, Sochachim Bechan Feyam ala Kaporas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Kruvim were on the Kaporas. They were Sochachim.
Right. Therefore.
Therefore, you have the language of Sifuch for the Kaporas also.
No. That's Sochach ala Kaporas, not the Kaporas being Sochach. The Kruvim's wings served the schach on top of the top of the kapores and the aron that was underneath it. So I think it's very, very clear. It's interesting that they chose to quote v'sak kosa as opposed to v'yosach al aredus, because in that pasuk it's clear there are two different things. First you put the kapores on the aron, and then v'yosach you put up the paroches samasach v'yosach al aron haidus. But it's clear that the Yerushalmi the girs in their pasuk was paroches. Well, because in one, so that's the question that I'm wondering about. As I look at the Chumash now, it is not out of the question. If you pick up Biblia Hebraica, there's any of you familiar with Biblia Hebraica? Sometimes it's called the Apikoros Bible. It's not a real Apikoros Bible. It doesn't even measure up because it's only lower criticism, textual variants that might exist for Psukim and Chumash, which is nothing that truly radical, aside from the fact that there are numerous errors in the apparatus of suggested textual variants which aren't textual variants because the because they were because the editors of Biblia Hebraica didn't know Targumic technique well enough to understand what was a variant and what was not. But putting that aside, sometimes there are real variants from other Masoretic codices, from Qumran, from the translation of the Vulgate or the Septuagint, or sometimes the Jewish Targumim had a different nusach. So I'd be curious to see if they have kapores on that first one, because the truth is it actually would read just fine. Because the kapores isn't mentioned, so v'sakosal aronas haparoches, if you were to substitute kapores there, it would read well also in context. It would be out of the question. But the Yushalmi did not have that girsa. That, we can leave it that way. Neither Yushalmi nor the Bavli have that girsa, and that's certainly not what we have in the Masoretic text. Yes.
If that was the girsa, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wouldn't matter. Even if that were the Girsa, you could have just quoted the second Pasuk, right? But clearly that's not what the Amorim had. It wouldn't surprise me if you find nobody has such a Girsa. In other words, but it wouldn't shock me either, you know, if you look in Biblia Hebraica and in the notes, you'll see that, you know, the Vulgate had, had Kaporis there. Not out of the question. But for our purposes, it's irrelevant because it's clear what both Sukkis had. They had, as we have in the Masoretic text. And so therefore, that's the proof that he cites. That the Paroches is Mechitza, Vikakarya Rachmana Schacha. Okay. Now, I just have a side question here. I think I asked it in the question number two. And I'm curious if any of you have an answer, because I actually don't. Well, you see
what you meant by it, but like if you're trying to hit point at something.
No, I actually wanted, you know, I had some thoughts, but I'm not convinced those thoughts are even worth uttering. Rashi writes on Paroches Mechitzahi, and the Torah calls it Tzchach. So when you read the Gemara, what does Paroches Mechitzahi mean?
Separation.
That's not how I read the Gemara.
It's a wall.
It means it's a wall.
It's a
wall, and in other words, it's a wall, it doesn't go this way, it's not something above you, it's something on the side of you, and therefore, and yet the Torah calls it Tzchach. Fine, that makes perfect sense. So Rashi says, Paroches Mechitzahi Dechsiv V'Hivdilaha Paroches Lachem. So the question is, what is Rashi adding? What was the alternative? Kesser?
I don't have the textual knowledge to back this up. I was thinking that he was emphasizing the idea that with Havdila, that it's a separation, like it's a physical separation between the Aron or the Kodesh and the Kodesh Hashim.
Yeah, I know, but we knew that. In other words, what does Rashi gain? Did we think that the Paroches was something else?
Well,
yeah.
I just.
Once his Kesser finished, I'm sorry.
He knows the discussion is going to sort of stray into the area of, like, is it a roof or not? Or, and like what sort of is the parochet like acting as? And I think he wanted to emphasize that in this pasuk, it's stating that it's a physical wall between the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the Kodesh.
Okay, maybe. Yosef, were you going
to... I was going to say something. So, I mean, just from the other pasuk, if you were to read it in isolation, you would have no idea whether or not this is like a vertical thing or horizontal thing. But I think you'd think it's horizontal and physically covering based off your prior understanding of what schach means. So like, this is just pointing you to, oh, by the way, if you're confused as to why we're talking in, you know, about vertical walls now, it's because of this pasuk, which actually explains in that way.
So you're already getting on to what's bothering me, which is, if I didn't have this pasuk, is there a way I would have read the parochas differently? If you notice, you go back to Parshas Truma, and you read the description first of the weaving of the parochas, and then you make Arba'a Amudei Shitim. Right, so when you talk about Arba'am Udeshi Tim and the way that works every place where it works in the Mishkan, in the Chatzer, here at the Masach Pesach Ohel, meaning the opening to the Kodesh had its Masach, and then the Parochas, like, did anybody think that the Parochas wasn't a vertical wall? I mean, I know that, in other words, unless it's anticipation of the second Shita, that you should bend it a little bit so it also is Chach, it's just Parochas Mechitzi seems almost... Yeah, I knew that already. What are you adding? Yeah, Eric, were you going to say something? Or
something
similar.
I'm not sure if this adds anything, but that it's both a physical and a visual separation that's complete top to bottom. Therefore, I'm not sure where that goes, but just thinking of the Mishkan architecture, it's something that you know what's behind it, but you can't see that thing at all. Not sure what that does for us
See, what it's not exactly what you're stating, but in other words, it's not the place to comment on it here now, and I'm not sure what it means, but it's by Rashi quoting that pasuk, it almost suggests, and I don't know exactly what this means, is that the purpose of the wall of the sukkah is to, like, divide Rishuyos or something like that. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Medila ha-parach ha-sachem beina kodesh uvein kodesh ha-kadashim. It's almost as if, in other words, we can ask this question. It's a philosophical question. I'm not sure what the multiple sides of the chakira are. What is the purpose of a wall? What is the purpose of a wall? You know, that issue. So this is a broad question, right? Sometimes a wall is to keep out. Sometimes a wall is to protect those who are inside. I mean, they do the same thing, but for different purposes, right? In the case of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim, there's a purpose for the delineation, right? I don't know if it's so much to keep in and keep out, although what might have been the purpose of the parochas?
Keep the regular Kohanim from...
In other words, V'lo yavo l'roz kivalas HaKodesh v'mesu, the idea that you didn't want to see the Shekhinah, you didn't want to see the Aron, that was a potentially life-threatening occurrence, that was one function of the parochas, and it had to be, as Sela said, something where you couldn't see what was behind there. But I don't know why here. It's not, in other words, this is all true, real, and important, maybe more important than what we're doing, but I don't know why that's significant here.
Definitely kept out the sunlight.
That is true. The parochas was, well, the Mikdash's parochas was extremely, extremely thick. It's exaggerated. The Gemara says it's Dibur Lashon Havai, but the number of Kohanim it took to be Tovel that Parochas, according to the Gemara, you know, was enormous. The Gemara says it was a Guzma. It wasn't quite that many people, but I don't.
It was also like super tall, no? Like wasn't the.
Yes, it was both big, but it was also, if you look at the thickness, it was sort of like, you know, think like a really, really thick Persian rug. I don't mean one of the thin ones, but like. So that was heavy. Gail. Okay, but now what you're saying, though, is, and again, I don't know where to go with this and why it's here, is that there's something fundamental about the wall. Is what do the walls of a sukkah do? What do the walls of a sukkah do? I'm going to ask, throw the question out. Some of you should know the answer to this question if you were here last semester. And by the way, just the people came in a couple moments late, for those who don't know them, Yosef Sklar, who's returning, and Mark Kaplan, who is joining us anew. Does the wall, in a certain sense, function as a barrier of a sukkah? Does it divide?
Yeah.
Noah?
Even if it did, Rashi's undermining the basic point of Rav Yama.
You answer my question first. Okay.
Yeah.
Does the wall ever... The wall is machshir sukkah. You need X walls for sukkah. However many X's. Does a wall ever divide? Kasser? Very funny. Thank you, Daniel.
In the sukkah, when we had the case of the H, where it was
excellent.
The wall there.
Imagine the following. Imagine you have Pesal Yotzeim in a sukkah. You build a regular sukkah. And then you have some of the schach is overhang. Your bamboo, you bought the extra long, the mahadrim and the hadrim bamboo, right? That are machmir to have, you know, hechsher sukkah beyond the sukkah. Okay, so here's your sukkah and your bamboo sticks out each side 7 tvachim. Okay, can you sit? I don't even like this. Let's say it goes 4 tvachim. Can you sit under the overhang of the sukkah? Pesel ayotzim in a sukkah there. Can you sit under the overhang of the sukkah?
4 tvachim.
Let's say it overhangs 4 tvachim. Let's say it overhangs 7 tvachim. No. No, I forgot. You have my marker?
Yes.
Ah. Okay, see, we're advancing here. I don't trust Jay, you're in the office anymore, so. Okay. Thank you. Okay. This is a bird's eye view. Here are the walls. The schach overhangs.
There's only one wall.
One, two, and three. So
So I want to know, can you sit into this area?
No, that's what I was asking, Morty. Why?
Let me ask you the following question. The things stick out this way. Let's say the bamboo goes this way, but the walls ended here. Can you sit under here?
Yes.
The answer might be yes, and certainly if you have one wall like this. But if I put it, let's say now, I decide I want the Mahadran Sukkah, I want four solid walls, because Rabbi Weider came up with this idea that you should have four solid walls to be machmir for Rabbi Shimon Shita to protect you from the rain. So I now go build a wall here. Solid wall. Thinking a little more in it, but a solid wall. What's the din of this area now?
No.
It's no good. Why? V'hivdi la paroch eslachem. It was mafsik the rishos of the sukkah. In other words, I do think it's relevant. I just don't know why. In other words, that is possibly true, that the function of a wall of a sukkah is to divide rishuyos. However,
why here?
Why does Rashi mention it here?
Well, what's Shabbos? You have the whole thing about Shabbos.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that will fit in with this. Yes, the previous sugya might be relevant, but
it doesn't have anything to do with what
But what is it doing, and why? Now, if that's what Rashi's driving at, I even understand. I don't know what Rashi's driving at. Why put it here, Morty?
I thought maybe he's not definitely trying to teach you something about sukkah. It's that you could have any piece of cloth that would be considered a mechitza. So the parochet, if it was just a curtain hanging by a window, it wouldn't be a mechitza. It's the fact that it's dividing between two rooms that makes a piece of cloth a mechitza.
Maybe.
I don't know. Noam?
I think if anything, though, if you want to take Rav Yoshe to an extreme, the mechitza doesn't have to separate things. The mechitza just has to stop light.
We, but even more so, then I don't understand what Rashi is saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right? That's what I would, if I want it correct. Right? So that's what, in other words, again, what it proves that is that a proches is a mechitzahi, because it says v'dila paroches lachem. Again, I think it does demonstrate that the function of mechitza in the sukkah is to divide rishuyos, but that's not relevant here. Daniel, working our way across.
You might have the Havamina from Rav Yoshia that you could sort of have a teepee-type wall as your wall and roof, and Rashi's structure. And you might think that just from this pasuk, but like Rashi's coming to say, no, that's not true, that there's a distinction between the wall and the roof.
So, but then how does this so that's a very important question generally in our sugya. What about, you know, in other words, how does, depending on what the definition of mechitza is, does that have any relationship to the shita of sukkah, suya, kamin, srit? But the pasuk doesn't prove one way or another, right? The pasuk doesn't tell us anything about that pasuk about how, whether the prochas hung on an angle or hung straight.
Because it's saying that the prochas separated two things. Meaning it didn't separate from the bottom and top, only separated from side to side.
You don't know, it could have been on an angle. In other words, maybe it divided on the ground.
The point was, it wasn't separating the floor from the sky.
No. But what I'm telling you is that the proches could have been like this, or could have been like this.
Yeah, but there's still a roof, it's saying. It's not.
No, understood, but how is this? How does the pasuk prove that it's this as opposed to this?
I'm saying the wall could be slanted as long as you have a roof also.
Okay.
So you can't have a wall being the roof as well.
But that's not what we're trying to prove here.
I mean, but you might.
We're trying to prove that parochas is a mechitza. That's all we're trying to prove.
I mean, no, but everyone agrees that parochas is a mechitza. But you might think, according to Rav Yoshia, that you don't need a. If as we see later on that if the schach is this, if the wall is the same thing as the schach, and how people believe that you might think that you could have one wall slash schach. And Rashi is saying, no, that's not true. You need two separate entities. You need a wall and you need tzrach. You don't have that hava, I mean, otherwise.
But it's strange to be talking about that here. Nobody's entertained the issue of tzrif yet.
I'm saying, but people, Rishonim will.
Doesn't make sense for Rashi to quote that here.
The
Ikar Chaser from the Gemara.
The
Ikar Chaser from the Gemara. Mark?
Maybe this is what you didn't want to say, but why is it so obvious that the parochas is a mechitza? The definition of mechitza being wall.
Because
there's a kosuv, you need to put a wall.
No. I got. So I think when you read the psukim, go back and read the psukim in Parshas Truma at the beginning of Perek Lamed
wall, not separation. I mean, actual like a wall. Isn't that what Mechitza is here? Mechitza is like a wall.
Right, and so what? And the Havamina would have been what?
Why are you connecting some piece of cloth that we don't know what to do with a dinning wall?
You're saying maybe we would have thought that that without that pasuk, we would have thought the parochas didn't hang as a wall. It might have been a hoop on top of the aron.
Even if it hangs like a wall, that's not the purpose of the mechitza. That's not the purpose of the parochas. The purpose of the parochas, I don't know, it's like some kind of nice thing. Like it might not have necessarily been a wall that separates without that
possibility. So, I have a question. Within Dinam of Sukkah, is it necessary to have kavana in making the wall? Sach requires l'shem tzel.
No, that's not connected because, say, what he's just, this pasuk is trying to prove that the parochas is considered a wall that does a physical wall as opposed to some kind of. As opposed to some kind of just thing like for the beauty of the.
But what I'm saying is for Sukkah, it doesn't matter, at least if anything I know of, it doesn't matter whether it's meant to be there as a physical separation or whether it's for beautification purposes. Right? Now, as you could take. Here's the following. Anybody here want to volunteer to be a wall of a Sukkah?
I'm going to make a good wall.
I'm not going to ask you to lie. You can sit there. Right? So what you on a non Yom Tov situation, or maybe on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov or Shabbos, when you're not aware of it, if you're so kind as to step into the gap in my third wall to make it into an actual wall, you can be the mechitza on Yom Tov, right? Clearly, even if you have no kavana. So that's why, in other words, I'm more inclined to think that maybe it was a havamina that the architecture of the parochas was such that it wasn't a mechitza, but somehow it was like a chuppah over the. No, once you say Vivdila, now you know it has to be a standing wall. Right? No, but it's a funny Hava. I mean, I'm not sure you can find that in the Psukim. Yeah, somebody should go back and reread. It should be the beginning of Perach of Zayin in Shmos, in Parashas Truma. See if it's possible that you could have, without that Pasuk, Vivdila Parochas Lachem, you know, whether you would have thought that maybe the Parochas actually wasn't a wall. Maybe you would have thought that it was like, as I said, Vayosa Chalaranaidus, right? It was a canopy placed over the Aron. Yeah, here.
In our example of canvas sukkahs, we mentioned the fact that a canvas sukkah that isn't properly attached to the bottom might not be considered a proper machitza.
Right.
Might that be the case with the parochet? I don't know if the parochet was attached to the bottom of the wall. I assume it was not.
Does a vila imply that it would be attached to the bottom?
Parochet is not attached at the bottom. The Now I was going to jokingly say no, it's an objective standard. It doesn't matter where you are, at least the way the Gemara reads it. The question of how a mechitza that moves in the wind is not a good mechitza. So the Gemara says, like, if you take the tree branch, let's say a willow tree, and the branches sag all the way down, and you want to, let's say, for Shabbos purposes, you're going to have a problem with the sukkah because of the sach. Shabbos purposes, you want to make it a Rosh Hashanah underneath, a Rosh Hashanah underneath to be metaltel. So you need mechitzas, but you can't just rely upon the branches of the willow tree because the wind blows them, so you have to tie them down. So there's a discussion about sukkah, barosh ha'gala, barosh ha'sfina, and what wind does it have to withstand. Now, the way the Gemara concludes is that there's an objective standard. And the Ma'atanaim who argue about whether the sukkah is clear or not, we're going to see that. It's in the next sukkah. They quote the Mishnah. So the Gemara assumes it's an objective standard. Rabbi Akiva believes that a sukkah that can withstand a ruach metsuya of the yabasha, even though it can't withstand the ruach metsuya of the yam, is a kasher sukkah. But the sukkah is kasher anywhere, even if you build it on top of the boat. If a ruach metsuya of the sea comes and blows the sukkah apart, guess what? You have no sukkah. But it's determined objectively. But if you saw it as subjective, that it depends upon where you build the sukkah, so I could argue that a mechitza inside the Kodesh HaKadashim, whose makom was kavua by definition to be there, there's no wind blowing there, so it doesn't really matter that it moves. Although when there's wind in there, it's pretty powerful wind. So I don't know. That did bother me. I don't think the Bavli certainly does not talk about the question at all in that sugya. But isn't the paroches a mechitza? It's not bad. It's even schach, and nonetheless, it would blow in the wind. Now, the only alternative is that maybe, but this seems a little bit chalish taina, is that the paroches was so heavy that really it would have taken a very strong wind to move it, which might be true. Depending if you took a curtain of that size, 10 amos wide, 10 amos tall, and it were that thick, which is not thick for a rug or something like that, said that would be pretty darn heavy. It would, a small little wind would not do very much to that. So it could be that that's why it was literally thick enough as to not constitute a problem. Noah?
Is there a difference between a dofen and a mechitza? I don't know. I would have thought that it's a semantic difference referring to what its purpose is. A dofen is a wall of a dwelling, of a house, of a room. A mechitza is something that divides between. That's cholik reshuyos. I'm not sure that the Gemara's choice of it is bedavka. Zach, you going to?
The Rav Yoshi is saying that this perhaps is a special did in the Defanot HaSukkah, and Rashi's maybe trying to show that by differentiating, that saying that this isn't a regular type of machitza that Rav Yoshi is talking about.
I'm sorry, I'm not grasping what you're the.
Rashi is saying that a parochah is a machitza in the classical sense, but Rav Yoshi is kind of. It's an additional requirement that we're not supposed to look at the Defanot HaSukkah in that classical sense. It's almost as if he's kind of showing us this pasuk as a proof, but to kind of go back in the other direction and say, actually, Rav Yoshi is showing that this is not what the Defanot HaSukkah should be like.
But that's strange, because the whole argument is based upon the fact that this is a dolphin, and it's called tzchach, and therefore all the fanos should be like this.
I think that's mashman de Gemara, though, because the Gemara uses a pasuk, this akotz al ha'aronata, parochet, which seems to mean that the parochet's purpose was to cover the aron. And the Rashi says, no, it's not its purpose.
Well, no, so I would argue that is its purpose. It's just, it goes like this. If I have to protect, if I protect you from the rain, it doesn't really help if I give you a shield. I mean, I guess you could put the shield on top of your head. But if my job is to protect you from the wind, then a shield would be a good thing, right? So I think that all Rashi's, the whole point. I think the point of the Rabbi Yoshia is that schach does not only have to be vertical. Schach can also be horizontal, right? We think of something, you want to protect something, a schach, you put something on top of it. And what he's pointing out is that the paroches, which protected the aron, or protected us from the aron, either way, was on the side, and that's a form of schach. That doesn't explain Rashi at all. But it explains what Rabbi Yoshia's shita makes sense.
I don't know whether separation and protection are necessarily the same thing, though.
I pick whichever one you want. I don't care. I don't care. But the point is, let's say it's to protect the Aaron. Let's pretend it's to protect the Aaron. I know the Aaron was no seis no sa'av, but for us, let's pretend that the Aaron needs protection from us, from our gaze. So just as you can have protection on top of the Aaron, you can have protection on the side of the Aaron. And that's called tzach. That's all he proves. Yes, no.
This just reminds me of the chiluk that Tosfot makes on Daf Dalam and Bet, where he says that when it comes to mechitza for Shabbos, it's about protection. It's about preventing people from coming in, whereas for Sukkah, it's about
enclosing a reshus.
Right. So this, I guess, if this is about separating from reshut and reshut, then this would seemingly be, this would follow Tosfot's distinction.
It
would not. No, if Adarab, it's treating it more like a mechitza of Shabbos. It's saying that it's mechalik be mishrus le mishrus.
Yeah,
I thought that the point of mechitza of Shabbos is to prevent people from crossing into the. That's
the distinction. The sukkah is to enclose an area that's the sheer sukkah. So you don't. So. No, we got backwards. Okay, we're quoting backwards. Correct. Sukkah is a din in Bechanos, Shabbos is simply in keeping an area enclosed.
Right.
Okay, so Shabbos, you want to argue, is a protection, but it's not a formal din in mechitza or a dofen.
Perhaps there's some other way that you could do that without doing mechitza. Maybe you could have some sort of...
Correct, because you don't have... The point is you don't have machitzas there, right? It's because it's a... Tosis's case is where you dig into the ground, and then the ground on top, the area of the sukkah is wider, and you don't have walls. You can't combine the walls of the ditch, the walls of the hole, and the walls above ground of the sukkah unless they're within three tvachim of one another, right? So that's for sukkah. For Shabbos, it doesn't matter as long as the airspace enclosed is large enough. See, I don't know if it's much. I don't know if it just keeps people out. I think that if a Shabbos you need an area. I did say it, an area that's a certain size, certain tashmish that you can do inside it, and that's protected from the outside. Whereas by sukkah, it's actually dinner in the defanos. But by the way, that's not like Rabbi Yoshia. That's not like, as Rabbi Yoshia would say, in other words, I guess he requires uber defanos. And as his defanos have to do two things. They have to be defanos, but they also have to protect in a certain way. Okay, Noam.
If anything, then Rashi seems to go according to Tosfot's version of Shabbos, and Rabbi Yoshia seems to be going according to the classical.
I don't want to bring that sugya in right now. Let's all right. So I think we've killed Rashi enough. He would be proud of us that we spend so much time. And Rashi might just be thinking in the kever there. No, guys, I was pointing out that in case you didn't learn the psukim and you needed to know what the parochas was. So just to give you a shorthand, rather than quoting the entire parsha for you, I'm just going to give you one pasuk that shows you that the machita is a hadala. Because maybe not all of us learn chumash. Okay. Now, but the presentation then is that a wall, the walls of the sukkah, a mechitza, I mean, this doesn't, you know, this is a very strange proof, by the way. Why is it a very strange proof? What does this actually prove? It proves that a wall can be called tzchach. It doesn't prove that the tzchach of the sukkah applies to the walls. According to this Rav Yemar Bar Shlemia, that's what he's assuming, right? That not only can, in other words, if walls were never called tzchach, of course you couldn't require the walls of the sukkah have the dinim of tzchach. That we know, wouldn't it be called, what would shaychus be? But just because the walls of the sukkah happen to have, just because walls can be called tzchach, it doesn't mean that the walls of the sukkah have to have the din of tzchach.
Does anyone challenge Rav Yemar on that point?
Nobody challenged him explicitly on anything. Okay, and what is the Chachamim's response? Read Noah. Right. So they make an interesting claim that the parochas had to be bent over a little bit, curled over a little bit, so that it would look a little bit like tzchach. I'm not really sure what exactly they had in mind, but it sounds like something to follow. It sounds like when you're hanging up the parochas. So here are your amudim. There are several amudim, I think four or five, I don't remember, it says in the pasuk, and you would hang the parochas on it. So what you might do is you might leave, obviously you hang the parochas on one side, so instead of taking the top of the parochas and putting that at the top of the amud, okay, instead of doing it that way, leave a little extra part of the parochas so that it will hang over, right? That's what will happen. If you leave a little extra above, it's going to end up forming a slight roof. Its weight will sag down. If you don't take too big of a piece, it will make a little tiny roof. So the nechaf beporta, what does nechaf mean?
To bend,
kafaf, so that it will look like schach. Why? I don't know. Okay, I'm only not commenting because that's a very important part of our discussion. If you got that was Carmen Nassano's point, yeah.
Again, I think it's creating a divide between what's the wall, what's the schach, and how they need to be two separate things. You need to have a clear distinction between the two.
Or maybe they have to be the same thing.
That's point. So this was presentation number one. Okay, so that seems like, and that was Rav Yoshi Shita. Either way, whatever Rabbi Yoshia held, we don't pass like Rabbi Yoshia. The Shulchan Aruch explicitly states the tour, and following the Shulchan Aruch state that you need Silasa Murbe Hamasa, but only Mechamas the Schach, not Mechamas the Defanos, and therefore, as long as you have, your Defanos can be a love with Defanos, they can be anything, they can be made of plexiglass, clear plexiglass, it doesn't matter. I can't imagine that sukkah being so comfortable to sit in, but nonetheless, that's good as the sukkah. What does the Rambam hold? We'll leave the sleuths tomorrow to investigate and figure out what the Rambam actually holds there, because strangely enough, the Rambam doesn't quote this din. As a methodological observation in the Rambam, an argument from silence in the Rambam is a powerful argument when the Gemara has a din and the Rambam doesn't quote it. The fact that the Rambam doesn't discuss a particular issue that might have been a machlokas harishonim, a discussion in the Gonim, is not an the Rambam's silence cannot be taken to mean anything. But when the Gemara had a din and the Rambam fails to quote it, it is a little bit odd. So I think the Rambam has a position here. But I don't know why he didn't explicitly state something. You have to do a little bit of reading, not quite between the lines, but to read enough of the Rambams in order to figure out what his position is. So now, let's read the second part of this Gemara. Amar Abaye, So all of these Tanaim hold that sukkah in some way, in some manifestation, sukkah has to be a diras keva. Now, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to ask you the question to answer it right now, but I would like you to define to me what makes something a diras keva. There is a Rashi here. And Rashi has an important comment. We have to explore how that fits throughout the sugya. But let's ignore that for the moment. Diras keva somehow suggests that it has to be stark. It has to have some type of permanence, something like that. Noah? Doesn't the Baal Hamor?
He kind of says that there are many different definitions, and everyone has their own.
I'm not.
Wasn't that his disproof for it?
That's an application. That's an application of principles. In other words, look, there is something about the size of a sukkah that the bigger you make it, the more diras keva it is. Beis Shammai believes that the minimum shir sukkah is rosh shel veruva b'shulchano, and Rebbe believes the minimum shir sukkah is dal alos dal alamos. Here, Abaye will collect both of them as holding sukkah diras keva be'inan. They clearly don't agree with one another. But I think that one could, not necessarily has to state in this case, that they both agree that the sukkah requires a certain kind of shear. It can't be just a minimum sukkah, because sukkah diras keva be'inan. And they're debating what size constitutes a diras keva. Now, you could say that they don't argue on the substance of what diras keva means, or they might. In other words, such a large gap of size, you know, a minimum size, it might indicate that they're seeing diras keva in different ways. So I'm not saying that everybody, clearly not everybody agrees with one another. But there presumably should be some guiding principles as to what makes something, why we would say this indicates you hold diras keva. There's one outlying shita, by the way, in this whole list. Tosus Arush points it out, and we noted that as well, at least in this list. What's the one outlier shita? Let's read here. God, read the cases. Okay, Rebbe.
Rebbe Netanya, Rebbe Omer. Also Gashayim Arba'amu Arba'amu Ksula.
All right, so Rebbe sheet is found in the Tosefta, the Gemara quoted earlier in Daf Gimel. Daf Beis, and Beis and Daf Gimel, is that a sukkah has to be a minimum of 4 cubits by 4 cubits. Okay, next.
Rebbe Yoshia Hadamra.
Right, Rebbe Yoshia, we just said. That's the stimulus for mentioning it here. Okay. Okay, so if a sukkah is taller than 20 amos, the Chachamim pasul, because they say that can't be a diras arai. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. It could even be a diras keva, and therefore can be taller than 20 amos. Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbi Shimon requires more walls. That's an indication of greater kviya somehow. Next. Okay, so Rabbi Gamliel doesn't allow a flimsy sukkah, and Rabbi Akiva does allow a flimsy sukkah. So Rabbi Gamliel holds sukkah diras keva be'inan. Next. Alright, so we already explained in the Gemara earlier, there are two debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Right now, Abaye is focused on which debate? Well, it's a machlokas harishonim, but the pashtus, to keep it simple, which debate is Abaye focused upon? Beis Shammai poslin or Beis Hillel machshirim, right? There are two different cases here. One is a case of a sukkah that's big enough, but you sit on the edge where your shulchan's besoch habayis, where clearly the sukkah is kshera. The question is, will you yotze the mitzvah or not? That's not the one Abai is talking about. Now. Right now, what Abai is talking about is the minimum size is sukkah. Beishamai poslin, that goes on a sukkah that's exactly Rosh Avruba, but not Shulchano, and Beisilo Machshirin. Okay. So again, if you make a sukkah like a teepee, you know, two walls that meet one another, or one wall leaning against a regular wall, but no demarcated tzchach. So Reb Lezer's posel, at least in the current case, and the Chacham Machshirin. And finally,
Achirim, Yitanya, Achirim Omrim Sukkah Asura Kishuvich Sula Lefish Ein Lezavim.
Yeah, and this is a shita that boggles my mind and fascinates me incredibly. Why is that has anything to do with Sukkah Diras Kevavinan? You don't have to answer that question now. We'll leave that for tomorrow or the next day when we get here. However, fine. So this was Abaye's, as it's called, the Shita. A Shita, as the Gaonim term it, is a case where the Gemara, where it's usually Abaye, Rabbi Yochanan, are the ones who do it the most, where you collect a bunch of different Tanoim, Amoraim, or both, who hold basically a similar concept. And the Gaonim say, as a matter of principle, we, by definition, do not pasken like the Shita. The way I think Rav Schechter once described it is you're sort of collecting all the odd shitos, and we don't hold that way. You have a lot of these throughout Shas, and we spent a lot of time on this in the first semester. So what is the interest right now for me in today's shir? Well, Abaye collecting Rabbi Yoshia's opinion is suggesting a reason for Rabbi Yoshia's opinion. Why does Rabbi Yoshia say that the walls have to be Tzilasa, Meruba, Mei, Chamasa also? Sukkah diras keva be'inan. So I'm willing to venture the following. Now, in the first sugya, in the first part of the sugya, Rabbi Yemar bar Shlemia, in the name of Abaye, said that the reason for Rabbi Yoshia is v'sakosah laron es ha paroches, right? That the walls have a din of schach, and that a sukkah's walls, we don't know how you make the leap, the sukkah's walls require to be schach as well. Here we say that the reason for Rabbi Yoshia is sukkah diras keva be'inan. And therefore, and how does that follow? I presume something along the way the Ran says, which is if you want the walls to block the shade, the sun, excuse me, they've got to be thick. They have to be solid walls. I am willing to go out on a limb and say the following. I don't think it's much of a limb. This Gemara, Abaye's statement, you cannot possibly follow me and defend the Rabbi Yoshia's position. It is not possible. If the whole point of Rabbi Yoshia requiring that the walls be tzilasa mumichamasan is because you need sukkah to be a diras kefa, it does not make sense to say that the walls therefore have to be made from the din of mishach. What would the best possible thing you could do for the walls according to this logic? Solid brick, stone. You're not going to say put up stuff that, that partially blocks the sun. Put up vegetable matter, but a lot of it. That's a very strange way of formulating things. Morty?
But the Rav Yehuda was clearly only talking about Rav Yemar. He wasn't talking about Abaye.
He's talking about Rav Yoshia.
But the Rav Yemar's explanation is Rav
Yoshia. Well, okay, so you're going to tell me. You can't tell that from the Rav Yehuda.
So
you're saying the same thing I said. In other words, there's no way to make that work. Right? In other words, clearly, for Abaye, it's a din, I'm going to say, in the sukkah, not a din in the defanos. Obviously, a sukkah is comprised of defanos, and a floor, and schach. So therefore, the way you make a sukkah diras keva is by making your walls stark. But at the end of the day, this is not a din in defanos per se. It's a din in the sukkah. Because sukkah, diras keva be'inan. Right? Rav Yemar bar Shlemia's explanation, quoting Abaye, is that the walls have the din of schach. That does not, I would say an adaraba. Can't turn it upside down. Imagine this is our sukkah. Is this sukkah kshera?
No.
There's no fifth floor. Is the sukkah kosher or why not?
Ceiling.
It's a ceiling. It's a solid roof. Ah, but at least Heiliger 7 Tanoim, sukkah diras keva beinan. The answer is, but not the schach. So it's very, very strange to say that the walls of a sukkah have the din of schach, have to have, and especially with the Rav Yoah, that they can only be made of that material, and then turn around and say, ah, and you know what? Sukkah diras keva beinan. It has to be tzilasa and ruba chamasa from the walls as well, because sukkah diras keva beinan. These are two completely reasons that cannot, I think, it's tempting to try to want to put them together. I don't think they work together. I think it's a machlokas, Rabbi Yerima Bar Shlomiya B'Shem Abaye and the Gemara B'Shem Abaye, as to what the reason for Rabbi Yoshia's din is. Noam?
I don't think it could be that simple, though, because according to the simple reasoning of Keva, why couldn't a 10 tefach brick wall with godasik with it still work, according to Rabbi Yoshia?
So you're attacking Abaye in a certain sense. You're attacking me or you're attacking my reading of Abaye. But I would say the following. Normal cases, it could be Rabbi Yoshia would say that the Defanos have to be Magios L'Sach. Not so much because Tzilasa Mubu Mechamaso, but that would come with it, but because that's, you build a, nobody builds a house and then leaves half the wall undone. Right? The truth is... Well, I think everybody agrees that people don't build houses and leave half the wall open.
He would require...
Correct.
Only according to the second.
No, both of them would require, because... Noam's point is, if you require tzilasa meruba mechamasa, mechamasa defanos, so the defanos have to go up to the schach, or almost all the way to the schach. They have to certainly be a majority.
Yeah, but they could be more than...
Fine, and then I would agree that at
there
both.
Could be more than whatever the din. I think it's
so. It might be that Abaye would say that's sufficiently keva. Also, I don't know. It could be. You're right. It could be. I certainly wouldn't say they have to mamash be magir l'shach. They would just have to cover a majority for Rav Yehima Rav Shlomo b'Shem Abaye. Whereas for the Abaye of sukkah diras keva b'inan, you might say that it has to be magir l'shach. Ein acharam. You might for this, but clearly. My point is there are two very different understandings of Rabbi Yoshia's position put back to back. I want to note, though, that none of the Rishonim agree with me.
It's also a Baye and a Baye.
How do I know that? That's, you, Treyam Orayv Aliba da Baye. Why do I say I think that none of the Rishonim agree with me? I don't mean just an argument from silence. I mean, it's an argument from silence, but it's a much stronger argument from silence. Mark?
No one mentions it specifically, the Ran. You can see that the Ran just says one reason. He doesn't say both. He just says, okay, the din of Rav Yoshia, one reason, the din of Rav Yoshia, one reason is...
Correct. Like, but do you think the Ran is correct?
I mean, it's so hard to say that. It's kind of like he just erases the whole first part of the Gemara.
Agreed. No, or arguably, he's reading the Gemara as a continuum. In other words, the problem is I'd like to just say lav davka, but the problem is it's hard to dismiss Rav Yehima Rishlemi as lav davka. But there's a different angle from which I say that we shown disagreed. Not something you've seen on the Maribakoma, something we saw last semester. Which is one of the things that the Baal HaMor, we paskin, like I said, we don't paskin like a Shita, except for we do paskin like two opinions in the Shita. What two opinions do we paskin like in the sheet that we're going to close with this? Beishamai. And Rabbi Lezer, in other words, we inverted the Chacham, we paskin that Oses Akosakim and Srif, the Chacham say no good, we paskin that way. The problem is, you don't paskin like a sheet, that's the rule the Gaonim gave us. So what's the answer that the Rishonim give? No, we don't pass the Rabbi Yoshia. Nobody says we do, at least.
No.
There's a different reason. The argument, the Rif says, I think the Rif says this beferish. The reason why we paskin like the Chachamim of Reb Lezer about Oseh Sukasa Kamin Srif is that it has nothing to do with Sukkah Diras Keva Beinon. It has to do with Shipuei Olam Lavka Olam Dami. So the Baal HaMor jumps all the Rif and says that's the same thing. But the Rif says these are two different issues. And with regards to Beis Shammai, there are those who wanted to say, this was a big machlokas, those who wanted to say that we paskin like Beis Shammai by
Rosh Rubu?
We paskin not for the reason of that its sukkah is not big enough, but gzeira shema yimashech roshav rubala achar shulchana. So in other words, we're saying Abaye, you're wrong on two, you're right on five. So the interesting thing, so it's an argument from silence. How come none of the Rishonim point out in that discussion? Now, it happens to be, it may not be a problem. We don't pass the Rabbi Yoshia anyway, so maybe it's a weak argument from silence. But why didn't anybody note that there's built into Rabbi Yoshia, there's another reason to reject Abaye and Rabbi Yoshia Shita? So now, as I say it, I think it's a weak argument from silence, a very weak argument. In other words, the reason why the Rishonim don't say anything in that context, other than the Ran, which I think you're correct, the Ran seems to meld the two parts together, they don't say anything because we don't pass the Rabbi Yoshia anyway. So it doesn't matter whether we reject Rabbi Yoshia because he's part of the Shita, the way Stam Abaye, or we don't pass the Rav Yoshia, even if it's for a different reason, because he just happens to hold that walls have to have the din in Schach.
I mean, they agree it's two different reasons, but we don't care.
Correct. There's no necessity for them to mention it, because they don't have to defend the Psach, because we don't pass him like it either way, whether it's part of the Shita or not part of the Shita. Whereas Beis Shammai's position and Reb Lezer's position, we do paskin like, and yet they're in the Shita, so we have to say that even though Abaye explained them as Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan, we paskin like those two Shitas because we hold that there's a different reason. It has nothing to do with Sukkah, Diras Arai, or Diras Keva. Okay, so that's, I have said my piece for today. Tomorrow we will resume finishing reading through the Makaros. I think we've done almost enough on this. I don't know if we'll go, if I plan to send you the next set of Makaros, but we will or won't get to those tomorrow, and sure, if not, we get to them on Wednesday. Noah, your question.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe, like, I know from, like, if we want to talk from... Guys,
please let Noah finish.
It's from like a lumsha perspective. A lot of the times we look at individual cases and try to see whether or not there is a general principle involved, and that this case is really just revelatory of a general principle. And perhaps Abaye here was trying to do that also by knowing the fact that that Rabbi Yoshia holds this way. But here this is just a shita, so like he just got it wrong. Like this wasn't actually the reason why. Rabbi Yoshio held that way, but Abaye was trying to figure out what is this general principle that's driving this specific halakha.
But it's only Rabbi Yoshio who holds that way, so if he doesn't hold for this reason...
No, he holds it for what we're talking about, for Chamatu Rabbi.
But again, does Rabbi Yoshio hold that it needs Chamatu B'Tzilat Tefanis because Sukkah Diras Kevavinen? Or not? That's the question. If not, then why does Abaye quote it as part of the Shita?
Because he thought that this was part of a large...
Okay, fine.
A
right.
General principle.
Okay.
Okay. Something that we tried to do last night...